This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, and this is Attention Please.
Could I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
This is Attention Please, and I'm Jim Burke, and I'm here with the cast and mentors of the show that's coming up at Key City Public Theater, Airness, which is about air guitar contests. A wild concept, and it's being directed by the kids themselves. We have here Cloud, Ruby, and Francis, and Nate and Brendan are their mentors, and Brendan is also head of education at KCPT. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Brendan, let's start with you. You are head of education at KCPT, so tell us a little bit about your outreach to the community and how this show came about.
Yeah, so every year we have a program called Teen Initiative, and this program was originally created when a group of teens in the community wanted to put on one of their own plays, but they didn't have a space to do it. Uh-huh. So they came to our artistic director, Denise Winter, and said, hey, we really want to put on a show. How can you help us? And throughout the years, we've created this program that is funded by the community. We have a fundraiser event every year, and we get money from the community, and all of the students are able to do this program for free.
Oh, excellent.
So what happens is we pick a play, either the students get together and come up with ideas of which shows they would like to do, or the mentors kind of guide them in the process of, hey, what about this show? What about this show? This year we decided on this show, Airness, because of, like you said, the wild, the interesting theme, and it's a lot of fun. What's really great about this program is that the teens not only get to perform in the cast, but they also get to take leadership roles in the production side of things. So mm-hmm. they get to do the light design, the sound design, the costumes, the props, the set. Mm-hmm. So they're painting.
Direction and stage
management. Uh-huh. And so they're painting, they're finding costumes, they're getting to learn how to program lights, finding songs for the transitions and for the show. So we're here as mentors just to guide them and make sure that they're doing what they need to do to get this show ready for next week.
So, this does open on June 30th at Key City Public Theater. It's not something you guys wrote. Who wrote this play?
So it was written by a woman named Chelsea Mercantile. She's a pretty well-known playwright. She did this play. I've seen this play a couple times. It's pretty popular. I don't know much about her.
Yeah.
And this is the high school version. So there's a more adult version of this. But for the teens, we've picked the high school edition.
Okay. All right. So all the bad language has been deleted.
Exactly. All the curse words, basically.
It's not like the kids don't know those words. And we can't say them here on the air, of course. So Cloud, Ruby, and Francis, any one of you want to jump in and just tell us how you got involved in this project?
I'll start. Hi, I'm Ruby. And I was in a camp, and I got handed a flyer for Teen Initiative. And it was told by Brendan, hey, maybe you want to do this. So I auditioned, and I found out that I'm going to be out of town for the shows. So the mentors has decided to give me the director role along with Jay, who couldn't make it today. But yeah, that's how I kind of found out about Teen Initiative, and it's absolutely amazing.
Cool. Cloud, why don't you tell us how you came to be in this production?
It's an interesting story, actually, because I'm from the East Coast. And I came to Port Townsend last year to visit my grandparents, and we went to see last year's show, She Kills Monsters, and it just looked absolutely incredible. And so my grandparents managed to get me involved through reaching out to Brendan.
Uh-huh.
And he was nice enough to actually let me participate and give me a significant role in this.
Well, that's cool. So where are you from in the East Coast?
I'm from New Jersey.
So now you're sort of in a summer camp on the West Coast for KCPT and this show, Airness.
Yep.
That's cool. Francis, tell us about yourself and how you came to be part of this project.
Yeah, so I have done some acting classes with the theater, and mm-hmm. I saw the Teen Initiative kind of poster, and I thought it'd be really cool. This is my first time ever doing it. And I was not expecting to get the lead role, but I'm really excited that I get to be a part of it.
That's fantastic. Nate, I haven't gotten much from you today. Tell me a little bit about you and your involvement here.
So I am, I'm an East Coast based actor. I currently reside in, New York City.
Oh, wow.
I live in Astoria, Queens.
Cool.
For anybody that might be listening.
No, that is super cool. Super cool place to live or be from.
Yeah, I love it there. My partner is the company stage manager at, KCPT. I was invited out here for the summer just to kind of work on education alongside with Brendan and alongside with her. And it's been wild. It's been a great time. I have a background in theater, not so much in education. So it's nice to get that kind of other side of the stage and being out in the audience and watching and helping mentor the teens create their art. It's been a wild experience.
Super. You know, it's been said that if you don't know if you know something, you teach it to someone else, and then you'll find out, oh, I do know this. So let's move on. We have a scene from Airness. Let me know when you want to get started with that.
Yeah, so this is a scene between the characters Golden and Nina. Nina has just arrived to the Airness scene and the air guitar scene, and Nina is talking about wanting to get involved, and Golden is kind of giving Nina their perspective on the situation.
Thanks, Brendan, for the setup. Whenever you guys are ready.
To be perfectly frank, I'm impressed you came out tonight.
According to my research, I can still qualify for nationals this year.
If the gods of air are willing, you all can. Facebender's from San Diego, so he's got a good shot at the Western Conference Finals here tonight. Shreddy's hometown in Chicago, CQ's hometown in Boston, and you can make a comeback in New York.
If the gods of the air are willing.
Thankfully, I gloriously triumphed in Staten Island, because qualifiers are thin on the grounds in Montana.
So this is where the magic happens.
Yes, this is where I touch the divine.
Very cool. You, Shreddy, and everybody seem really close. Y'all hang out a lot?
Nah, we're so spread out, we only see each other at competitions.
Bummer.
But the group text is fire.
I'm sure.
You gonna wow us on stage tonight? You can't qualify here, but you could work out some kinks, try some stuff out before NYC.
Nah. I'm doing recon.
You don't need to take notes. You need to get back on stage. Air guitar is about the audience. The only way to really get better is to perform.
I know about audiences. What I don't know about is air guitar.
You went down in flames in Staten Island. I know that had to sting, like whoa. But the longer you put off your comeback, the harder it's gonna be to get back on that horse.
I got lower scores than the guy who performed Resurrected Jesus.
To be fair, Pearl Jam's Alive was a strong artistic choice. If Jesus hadn't been drunk out of his mind, he might have swept the whole thing. So, what are you working on for your comeback?
I got a couple things in the hopper. Tell me, what do you think?
Okay.
Two Princes by the Spin Doctors.
Baby stuff.
The rhythm guitar part in that song is irresistible. Everybody loves that song.
What else?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Okay, yeah, Nirvana is always a solid choice.
But
what else you got that's a little more original? That sends a message to the crowd instead of being just fun for you?
Last but not least, I've been working on some choreo for American Girl, Tom Petty.
I get it.
Because I'm an American girl, I guess.
No, it makes sense.
But.
Thanks a lot. Well, it was hard for me not to laugh, and it was also hard not for me to just break into those songs with air guitar. So that was fun. Thank you guys so much. Anything else? Anybody want to tell me something else? Anything else about this production?
Well, I think for your viewers,
listeners.
For your listeners, yes, of course, listeners. There is plenty, as you heard, there's plenty of music-related themes and a lot of jokes that are related to music, so I think the community will really appreciate a lot of the humor that is a part of this show as well.
Yes, of course. I mean, just the musical references alone in that scene, I'm going, oh, okay, I know exactly the guitar, rhythm guitar she's talking about in Two Princes, and in, of course, Nirvana. I mean, it just smells like Teen Spirit. It just starts out with guitar and it ends with guitar. It's all about the guitar and screaming.
Yeah.
That's a screaming. Yeah. Thanks so much for being here. Nate, Brendan, Cloud, Ruby, and Francis, part of the Teen Initiative at KCPT, opening on June 30th and continuing till when?
July 9th.
July 9th. What's the name of the show again?
Airness.
I'm having an airhead moment. Airness is going to be at KCPT starting June 30th. Thanks so much for being here. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You are listening to Attention Please on KPTZ in Port Townsend. And we are here with Charles Durrett, an expert on co-housing and the head of a company called The Co-Housing Company. Tell us and tell me and our audience a little bit about co-housing, what it is.
Yeah, thank you. Well, co-housing, as many of your audience knows, because there's quite an enthusiastic following in Port Townsend, is a custom neighborhood virtually. You know, it's where the residents get together and the future residents get together and play a germane role in planning and designing and getting approved a new project, a new neighborhood that suits their needs, their 21st century needs around community and sustainability and living lighter on the planet, and not to mention all of the individual benefits of it, having, it's very practical, it's very cost-effective compared to single-family houses and condos and basically any other arrangement. So co-housing is where the future residents help plan the project. It's designed to facilitate people knowing each other long-term, in other words, facilitate a community. Mm-hmm. It's, generally speaking, has extensive common facilities. It always has extensive common facilities. And what astounds me the most is when a group of people get together and to dialogue it, how many ways they find to cooperate that makes their lives more easy, more convenient, more practical, etc. It's entirely self-managed. It doesn't have any ideology per se other than living smarter. It doesn't have any leaders. Everything is virtually done by consensus, which works because everybody has some skin in the game, and therefore they're very businesslike, and people cut to the chase. The best example in Port Townsend currently is Quimper Village, which is over on F Street, or it's right off of F Street.
Yeah, corner of F and San Juan, pretty much.
Right, exactly. And, for folks who are curious about it, I think they have tours on Saturday morning. It's an easy place to walk around and get a sense of what it is. And it's a fantastic place. And I know a lot of people. I was the architect on the project, and I know a lot of people.
Oh, wow. Okay. There. So you've developed co-housing here in Port Townsend before.
I got that project started. I helped them find the piece of land. I did the Getting It Built workshop for them, which is how to make a lean and mean co-housing effort. I did the site plan with them over a 4-day workshop, then the common house over a 2-day workshop, and private houses over a 3-day workshop. It's a very deliberate process. Port Townsend co-housing or Quimper Village is pretty much state-of-the-art in the U.S. I mean, there's almost 200 projects built now, but some of them are functional, high-functioning like that one, and some of them are a lot less functional, and people don't use the common house much. But it's one of those things that it really does pay to have people who know exactly what they're doing create it. So it came out of Denmark, but that culture led them right to co-housing. And now, Denmark is doing co-housing like it's the new sliced bread.
How long ago did that start in Denmark?
The first one was built in Denmark in 1972. It's called Sættedammen.
What was that?
It's called Sættedammen.
Sættedammen.
Sættedammen. Yeah, it's not an easy word to pronounce.
Mm-hmm. Two friends of mine lived in Tasmania for about a year, years ago, and they said that their friend lived in co-housing, who lives down there. Have you developed any?
I've worked on a lot of projects around the world, and I have visited that one in Tasmania. There's a couple in Tasmania now. And I did some consulting for them after the fact, which was I think useful. But
they did it on their own and then called you in?
They ended up hiring a person, Ian Higginbach, who came to visit co-housing in the U.S., spent a considerable amount of time in my office learning how to do co-housing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now there are several books about how to do co-housing. The latest and the greatest is called Co-Housing Communities by Wiley. And a lot of people are using that book as a guide to set them up for success, especially if I can't be there. But I'm working on a project in Vancouver, BC right now, mm-hmm. where the group, very smart group, and they have all read that book, and it makes my job as the architect a lot easier to accomplish. Absolutely. I mean, they come to the table with a lot of common denominator as opposed to just, you know, a bunch of individuals who, you know, think that co-housing is just putting their individual wish list on the table. And because it really needs to come together more coherently than that.
How long ago was Quimper Village developed?
Quimper Village was finished about 5 years ago.
When you developed it, was there like an advertising campaign in the community? Was it sort of a grassroots movement that created the groundswell of support for it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, very much like Kate Nichols is doing there now, mm-hmm. the individuals who, you know, everybody in Port Townsend will know the names, Pat Hoonhausen and David Hoonhausen, who, you know, they're basically the group that developed. I was just the architect, but I actually gave them a lot of consulting along the way about uh-huh. development. And they're super smart, and they were able to patch it all together. And they were voracious readers, you know. Co-housing is one of those things that really does pay to do a little homework because it's not usual. You're not looking in the rearview mirror, like, I lived in this house and it was great, and I lived in this house and it was not so great, so how do I make myself a new house? It is very much reconsidering the whole living arrangement so that it actually works for you as opposed to, you know, default scenarios.
In what ways is it more efficient than just a regular development?
The future residents are on board. That's a big part of it. And so, you know, you're really cutting to the chase to what this group needs and wants. Mm-hmm. I've worked for a lot of regular developers, and they're constantly trying to figure out who the market is, and what if we have some people that want this, and what if we have some people that want that. They really skirt around, you know, all the real needs of people, like low energy bills and such. And, you know, they talk a lot about, oh, maybe people want a marble entryway, and maybe they want a, you know, two shower heads. And so they end up spending all this money trying to create a curb appeal, as they call it, and not cutting to the chase about what the residents really want. So I design, you know, regular condo projects too, but I can guarantee you they're infinitely different than a co-housing, because a co-housing is super authentic about who exactly that group is and exactly what they want.
Are there resources out there for co-buying that would lead to co-housing?
There's a lot of resources, but co-housing is developed more or less like a regular condo in that the group creates a limited liability corporation so right. that they're actually developing the project together.
Uh-huh.
And then I do a two-day getting it built workshop with a new group that goes into great detail, the legal structures, how you get your money in, how you get your money out, you know, what it means to be a lean, mean co-housing machine, especially, mm-hmm. and most importantly, things like group process, so that people really feel comfortable working with their neighbors to work all this stuff out mm-hmm. and set it up so all the processes are fair and thoughtful and, you know, really designed to help them reach their optimum possibilities. And I feel like they do. Over and over again, the design concept is 1 + 1 = 3. In other words, I have an idea, you have an idea, and the idea that we come up with together is better than either of ours. Okay. And I find that happens over and over again.
That's cool. If people buy into a co-housing development before the fact or even during, they can buy in and buy out like a share Or is it they owned an individual house or condominium or apartment in it?
They're not usually co-ops, although the one on Bainbridge Island is a co-op. Okay. There's only two in the U.S. Out of the 200 that are co-op. That doesn't mean the new one in Port Townsend wouldn't be. It might very well might be.
Right.
But like if you looked at Bellingham, Washington, it's a state-of-the-art co-housing and it's condos. Quimper Village is condos. That's more like that's more typical.
Yeah, they do have little houses there too, right? At Quimper.
Yeah, in Quimper, everybody has their own house. I mean, it's a complete house.
Right.
I mean, kitchen, dining, living, bedrooms, bathrooms, and all the rest.
Right.
But they have an extensive common house. It's about 4,000 square feet where they use it. In fact, I just did the math with some residents there. They use that common house about 366 hours a week. Wow. So collectively, mm-hmm. 366 people hours.
Right. I get you.
And it's got a custom, it's got a very nice gourmet kitchen in it. Very comfortable from a dining point of view. It's, it's got common laundry there, and everybody could have afforded to put laundries in their houses, but they, there was a desire to live lighter on the planet. So one of the easiest places to accomplish that is like recycling the water out of the laundry machine, where you absolutely can't do that in private houses. Just co-housing, you can just do so many things that are easier to do collectively than you can do on your own. We all have a lot of values about doing the right thing, but since it's not easy, we just don't get around to it, right. to a lot of it.
Do the individual houses have things like gray water systems for watering the garden?
Not normally.
No, not normal.
Not normally, though they're hyper insulated and such. I live, as near, not far from Lake Tahoe, and my highest heating bill last year was $20 a month, and my electric was -50.
And that's Nevada City. That's the foothills of the Sierra Mountains. It can definitely get cold and snowy there.
We had 4 feet of snow this year.
Yeah.
At one time.
Do you know, is this development, is it just a twinkle in somebody's eye at this point? Is it a real plan at this point? What is the timeline on this?
Currently, the next logical step is that I would come up there and do a presentation. This is how Quimper Village proceeded.
Mm-hmm.
I came up to Port Townsend and I did a public presentation. They had well over 100 people come. 20 households started the project came out of that presentation. Also, because that was a senior co-housing, they did another workshop called Study Group 1, which is where seniors learn very well about all the advantages for seniors to live in co-housing. And there are good qualified people in Port Townsend to do that workshop, actually.
These days, a lot of people here in Port Townsend are talking about housing. They're also talking about greater density. There's in Port Hadlock, they're building a new sewer system so that they can create up to 200 homes that are probably going to be developed by Habitat, because the land use down there is currently, the countryside. So all the lots are 5 acres and they each have, individual septic systems and they're all zoned that way. So they're rezoning things so that they can create this sewer system and then create a lot greater density, some condos, some duplexes, maybe even some quadplexes. I'm not sure what the ultimate plan is, but they want to create a lot greater density, sort of create a new village as part of Hadlock, Port Hadlock, so that they can have a sewer system and shared water and sewer.
Sewer is important. I think community is also important. And the practical aspects of making housing too often unnecessarily loses, the value of a high-functioning neighborhood. I just want to put that out there. I super applaud towns like Port Townsend doing what they can to get more housing done.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish in general they would focus on, we have a poster in our office called "If it doesn't work socially, why bother?" And too often, like that project next door to Quimper Village, it's just warehousing, basically.
Yeah.
It's not high-functioning anything.
That makes sense.
Not for the individual, not for the town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to make projects high-functioning. Like, just interview anybody at Quimper Village, and they'll talk about, how much fun the process was, but more importantly, how much it serves their lives now. So I am a big fan of creating new housing. I just would like it to be, personally, I would like to see it be a more focused on making high-functioning neighborhoods. I talked to Habitat there in Port Townsend extensively about their new project. They were not interested in using the future residents. to help determine the neighborhood. And I find over and over again, you know, whether I'm working, you know, I've done co-housing projects just for single moms. I'm not a single mom, and I don't propose to know how to make their house. And what they have come up with was, and it's built now, it's been built for years, was just ingenious compared to what I would have done on my own, basically, and much more affordable than I would have done on my own. I just think that that should be part and parcel to new development, where the future residents, and if you're going to make a neighborhood, the future residents have to be involved, basically.
Well, that,
in my opinion,
that would be great. We have, they're not competing interests, but they're different entities in Jefferson County trying to create housing, more housing here. There's the Jefferson County Board of County Commissioners. There's the Port Townsend City Council and other entities like Habitat, for example, that are working on these issues. Also, we have the Housing Solutions Network, OLECAP, and some other organizations that have worked to create more housing. There's a new building called Seventh Haven that OLECAP was part of creating with state money, federal money, and county money, and city money. I think even the city has some skin in the game. And they created a new building by a shopping center up the hill here. And it's a pretty cool looking building. It's got a daycare center in it as well. And they've got apartments and studios for certain people who have limited income, some veterans. It was a pretty successful building that they built there. But it's just a drop in the bucket in terms of what we need here. We need about 200 units of housing a year over the next 20 years, according to all the people who work with the numbers say about Jefferson County.
And it's great for the environment, too. There's a lot of people who want to work in Port Townsend who have to drive from hell and high water to get there.
Yeah, so, yeah, they drive
know,
from...
Not, you know, I mean, the best example of doing a housing development involving the future residents and not involving one is the one you described earlier, Jim, which is, you know, you go to Quimper Village and you look at the, that's a senior co-housing, mm-hmm. and you go to the tower that's right next door, that's not involved.
That's not part of Quimper Village, right?
No, it's not. And we've been doing, and it's like night and day. You know, you see people between the buildings, there's a real life between the buildings at Quimper Village, there's mm-hmm. virtually no life. You know, everybody's at home watching TV and being quite lonely in the mm-hmm. in the tower. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say that community is part and parcel to helping people live a happier senior life. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, we're doing a four-story building in Vancouver right now, which is going to be a very high-functioning community. It's a very vibrant group of people involved. And so it has nothing to do with the form of the housing. It has everything to do with the participation, which, in fact, does shift the form.
Right.
But it does, you know, it's key. So in other words, you know, that thing in that tower next to the Quimper Village, I think it's three or four, maybe five stories. And it could feel like a community, but it feels like an institution. It's just an apartment, senior housing, but it could be different. And it's house as many people. That's the key thing. People think that co-housing only has one form, which is, you know, little cottages, one-story, two-story cottages. No, it can be in a high-rise for all that matters, but the key is having future people involved.
Any housing is good housing in this market.
It's true.
More highly functional housing would be better.
Better.
You know, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Charles, thanks so much for talking to me today on Attention Please. Thanks so much, Charles.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like to know more about co-housing, you can go to cohousingco.com or locally contact Kate Nichols. That's KateNichols. Her email is KateNNichols@yahoo.com. All one word, KateNNichols. Don't forget the second N in the middle. If you want to know more about Airness and the youth programs at KCPT, Key City Public Theater, go to KeyCityPublicTheater.org.